Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Sports City. It's your boy TP Thomas back at the helm. We've been gone for a little bit, but this week has been rocky. So get back at this table, get your groove on, man. We got a lot of dishes to throw around this kitchen. I only got 60 minutes to throw a lot at you guys, but I done took off this blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside, the kitchen timeless is alive.
We did it like that, and now we do it like this. We did it like that, and now we do it like this.
Yeah. Now, block, kids, who got the cocaine? Don't tell me it's the little kids on boat trains. The metaphor sent from my brain to my jaw. It comes from other places, not the tinted faces. Journalistic values are yellow, and then, of course, falters. You watch Channel Zero with that bitch, Mama Walton. She have you believe black invented crack when President Lyndon had the formula way back in 63 with Kennedy. Yes, the double cross. Remember, that's when they blow his fucking head off. Vietnam vets come back looking like one-armed pets. Nixon bombs, pure text. No picket fence, no job, no angel in the car. Blue collar turns to bourgeois. Depressed in your chest. Demerol for cess. No dough, crack and veils.
Okay. The call number is 917-889-9592. You got the next 60 minutes locked and loaded with Sports City. You have to be anywhere else in the world, but you're here with the chefs. Sports City, I'm going to say it first and foremost. I need to clear my lungs, clear my head, and get back into the kitchen, man. I'm well rested, man, so we back in here, man, right here at the round table. Like I said, I got a smorgasbord of things to jump into. Haven't been here in a while, so I got some topics that we didn't get to discuss this week that I'm going to put right here at the forefront of this kitchen. First and foremost, calling from the state of South Carolina, the New Yorker himself, Crooks and Dodgers, like I was playing them. You got him as Nostradamus, a.k.a. Mr. Knight. Welcome to the round table. How are you feeling this evening?
I'm playing Diablo 3. I got my steel reserve. I'm about to talk some sports and then watch the Yankees beat the Red Sox. It's all good.
I don't know. The Red Sox been tough. We'll dive into that. I want to see how you feel about the series over this weekend. That's definitely going to be interesting. But I do want to throw something to you, since it is just me and you here right now, and I'm smiling with this one, big brother. I'm smiling right now. Your thoughts on the Blue Shirts getting the President's Cup? Now, mind you, the last time they did this was in the Stanley Cup season in 94. I don't want to jump the gun because I feel like karma's a bad girl, you know, always at my door, knocking on my door, waiting for me to slip up, do something crazy. Do you think this could be a special season for the Blue Shirts? Your thoughts on these guys actually being able to sustain such a rocky start to the season, losing Henrique, losing also other players a part of this, the roster, getting them back. I mean, Henrique is still trying to get his legs underneath him. I'm a big Cam Talbot fan. Cam is actually, getting people to buy into him as of the Ranger Nation out here in New York. I definitely just wanted to talk to you while we wait for some heads to show up at the roundtable. Your thoughts on how the Rangers have been performing, closing out this regular season?
Well, you know, for me, I'm not going to say I'm surprised, but I am surprised. I knew that we would be good this season. I didn't think we'd be this good. I knew we'd make the playoffs. I didn't think we would have home ice advantage throughout the playoffs. I like the mix of players. For those who like to sit on the ledge and every time the Rangers lose one game, start screaming about trade this guy and trade that guy, shut up. Okay? For those who want to talk about the Kings and the this and the that and the Islanders, shut up. The Rangers are the best team in the Eastern Conference, period, end of story. A lot of guys have started to mature and grow into their games. These guys that people wanted traded, Zuccarello, Stepan, the 2 seasons ago. Everybody needs to trade Derek Stepan. He's a bust. Shut up and let the players grow into who they're going to become. I'm so sick of all these so-called Ranger fans who were screaming not even a season and a half ago to trade half the team. Okay? But these guys, you know, congrats to them. They've done a great job. And not for nothing, we have 2 number one goaltenders. We really do. Cam Talbot could start for probably 28 of the 30 teams in this league. He could start for them and win. You know, and that's a nice thing to have, man. Now, you know, as far as offseason, I'm not going to get into that yet, but right now the Rangers are rolling. We got Klein coming back for the playoffs. I'm expecting big things.
Okay, and while the kitchen is still clear, I'm going to just throw this one out there. Since you say that about the goaltenders that we got right now, or goalkeepers, excuse me, let me say it the right way, I'm not going to lie, I swear to you, I'm going to put this out there. I feel more comfortable and confident in Cam Talbot in between those pipes than Henrique, even though Henrique, you know, basically had the city of New York in his palm, and a lot of people in certain games where Cam was giving up a good amount of goals, people were like, they can't wait to see Henrique. I think our defense got stronger once Cam Talbot got in between the pipes. And the crazy part about it is, you know, I don't want to, you know, jinx him, but the risky stuff that he does out there on the ice, it actually gets the team to play stronger defense because they know the risk that Cam is going to sit up there and take. But I think he defends exceptionally well, especially while Henrique has been out for all of about 3 months. So get him back right here at the start of the season, let alone we got to see how the wild card fills out at that HC, because more than likely they might end up seeing a strong team like Pittsburgh, so on and so forth. But I want to see how it does end up panning out for the Rangers. But your thoughts on who you think should be the starter at the goalie?
It should be Lundqvist. I mean, that's a ridiculous question. It really is. I know people want to be prisoners of the moment. Cam Talbot's not better than Hank. He's not. Henrik Lundqvist is a world-class goalie who's proven he's a world-class goalie. Cam Talbot is growing into becoming an all-star goalie. He's not a world-class goalie yet. He's not. So Hank should be starting, but it's nice to have the luxury of having Cam as a backup.
Okay, and another thing I want to throw out from the Rangers, then I'll get away from it. We do have somebody here. We have statements from Marty St. Louis, even though he's the elder statement. He said that he wants to stay with the Rangers and retire as a Ranger. I think his play on the ice has actually helped the Rangers a lot, too. Your thoughts on him potentially, if the front office actually buys into keeping Marty around, your thoughts if he could remain a Ranger until he ends up retiring?
I think they should. I don't think Marty St. Louis needs to play for another team. This is a guy who should have been a Ranger years ago. He fits what we do. He is still a dynamic goal scorer. He is still a top 10 goal scorer in this league. And he's in his 40s now. You know, that shows you what preparation, what, you know, working on your game and just what sheer willpower will do. You know, this is a guy who, not for nothing, shouldn't even be in the league. People didn't want him the first 2-3 years he was in this league. Everybody said, oh, he's too small. So, yeah, I want him to retire a Ranger. I want to see him play for the next 3 seasons and then let him retire.
Okay. Interesting enough, calling in from the state of Virginia. You guys know him as Mr. Simmons. I know him as Aaron. Welcome to the Sports City Roundtable. How are you feeling this evening?
You know, man, I'm good. You know, man, it's a pleasure to be here with you all this evening.
Okay, let me jump right into it. I want to do a quick couple of things, NFL, to get away from it, and you know where I'm going to go with you since you just jumped into the kitchen. Your thoughts on the information that's just been thrown out a day or two ago, Troy Polamalu retiring from the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, mind you, I think the Pittsburgh Steelers organization didn't want to have to cut him. I think they wanted to try and, I don't really want to say force the retirement, so I think that he could retire a Steeler and, you know, more or less not have so much weight on his shoulders, so on and so forth, because I honestly want to say the past 2 to 3 seasons, he's been injury-riddled and not being able to be a mainstay on the football field. Your thoughts on your free safety? And I seen you post something saying that he was one of the better safeties in the game to play the game. Spread your lungs on that situation.
You know, man, I don't know that, gentlemen, you know. I mean, I was driving in the whip when the news officially broke, you know, and for those of you all who, you know, heard me on this network or seen me, you know, post on many social media outlets, you know, the writing was on the wall for Troy's, you know, departure for the better part of 3 years, you know. Ty hit the nail on the head with that, you know, and it's still a surreal feeling when, you know, the guy that, you know, has been a linchpin and, you know, on your squad finally hangs him up and walks blocks away from the game. You know, again, it's weird for me. It really is. You know, I'm not going to even front. I'm a tad bit emotional about it. You know, Troy was one of the first Steelers players I actually had a pleasure of meeting face to face. You know, I got autographs, paraphernalia from the guy. So this is tiring, kind of like when Hans Ward hung him up, trying to hit the little close to home. Because even though he probably couldn't pick me out of a lineup, I thought I know this man personally. You know, one of the best safeties to ever strap on a uniform. One of the best, you know. I get into plenty of arguments for Ravens fans who want to scream, you know, Ed Reed, and, you know, Niners fans who want to scream out Lonnie Lott, and, you know, even Steelers fans who want to, you know, throw out the plethora of Steelers that have, you know, came to the organization. But for me, you know, it's definitely top five, top ten Steeler to ever put on that uniform. And one of the top, you know, three top five safeties to ever play that position. I'm glad he was able to go out on his own. I'm glad that, you know, he wasn't carried off or forced to retire due to injury, you know, when he was taken out in the stretcher or anything like that. You know, again, I just – It's a sad but happy day, you know, for me as a Steelers fan, and, you know, kind of hindsight being 2020, looking at the outlook of, you know, a Steelers-led defense next year. You know, we're not going to have a Brent Keisler, we're not going to have a Dick LeBeau, we're not going to have a Ike Taylor, we're not going to have a Troy Polamalu. It's going to be crazy as all get out, you know, watching Steelers defense next year. But, you know, next man up, Shamarco Thomas. And as a guy who we drafted a couple years ago who was being tutelage and, you know, kind of worked into by Troy Polamalu on this defense. So we'll see what happens. But, you know, it's a surreal type of situation for me, you know, watching my man hang him up. You know, I hope he has fun, you know, doing the things he wanted to do after football. But, again, I'm a tad bit emotional about it, I'll be honest with you.
Okay, and I'm going to say this before I throw this around to Chandler, see how he feels about it. I'd say some of the stuff you say is strongly debatable. You said he's a top five Steeler and a top five free safety ever. That's debatable to me. I could think of five Steelers right now more memorable to that organization than Troy Polamalu.
I said top ten. I said top ten Steelers, top five.
Okay. I'm making sure, because I was going to rattle off five quick. I was going to give you five quick.
That's easy.
Right. I was going to do that quick. Just making sure, Sports City, I had it this heated. I had one heated. I'll put it back over here on the counter. We'll chill to it. Before I go to Chandler, what's your one memorable, you probably got a thousand, your one more memorable moment or anything that Polamalu did on the field, whether it was him jumping over the line to beat the snap or that touchdown he scored and you know, basically was pumping the ball in the air before he got to the end zone, your one Polamalu moment before I throw the challenge?
You know, for me, so it was an AFC playoff game. We were playing the San Diego Chargers. We won the game 10-9. Sort of a still pick. I believe it was Harrison – Aaron Smith or Keith off to get one defensive line and tip the pass, and Troy caught the pass with his fingertips. You know, I mean, if I had to define one standout moment, you know, with Troy Polamalu in a Steeler uniform, that had to be at the top of the list. If I had to pick another one, it had to be when he ran over his college roommate, you know, Carson Palmer, and route to a touchdown off of pick six. You know, just for kicks and giggles, that entertains me. But, if, you know, that one pitch, that one interception that he had where he caught the ball with the fingertips playing the San Diego Chargers in the snow and you know, at Heinz Field had to be one of the most memorable things that I've ever seen.
Okay, Chandler, your thoughts on Polamalu retiring? And also, I mean, anything that Sirius has said that you might want to speak on or – anything that you remember Polamalu doing on the field, whether good, bad, or indifferent?
Yeah, I remember him doing nothing on the field. I don't care. Listen, I'm not a prisoner of the moment. He was a good player. He got a lot more acknowledgement than I think he should have. He's not even top 10. I'm not a Steeler fan, and I can give you 10 Steelers better than him right now. So the whole top 10, top 5 thing, absolutely not. Was he a good player on some good teams? He absolutely was. He was a one-dimensional safety. He was a run-stopping safety. So how's he going to be top 5 when he couldn't cover nobody to save his life?
I think you're thinking about the last couple years of his career. But if you look back over the first part of his career, he really shut down half a field.
He didn't shut down half a field. Oh, stop. They didn't run to that side of the field. This man dictated what you were going to do. They didn't run to that side of the field. He threw to that side of the field all the time. They didn't run to that side of the field. He was better in run coverage than he ever was in pass coverage. It is what it is, man. I know you don't want your hero to have feet of clay, but he does. Okay? He don't. But for the Steeler fans, listen, they feel how they feel about him. I'm not going to tell the Steeler fan how to feel about somebody because you can't tell me how to feel about certain Knicks. I feel about him how I feel about him. My opinion of him is he was a really good player. I would maybe give him top 20 Steeler based on the amount of press he got, not so much by his play, but by the amount of press he got. Because we have to remember that he got more face time because of the ESPNization of sports than a lot of other guys who were doing just as much stuff as him. But he was on a name team. He had a great name. He had the long flowing hair. He was photogenic. He was good with the media, so they loved him. So they puffed up a lot of the things that he did. It made it seem like he was otherworldly when he really wasn't. He was very good. That's it.
Okay, Chandler. Anything that you remember while he was on the field doing his thing before we get away from him? Because I got a lot of dishes. Especially NFL. Well, not really NFL, but I got dishes. But I do got the NFL dishes also.
Nothing memorable.
Wow, he is critical on this boy TP. He ain't talking about timeless. I know that. Okay, I'm gonna just do the one. I'll say this: the one memorable moment I have. I have a couple. There's a lot of Troy Polamalu moments that I do remember of him making some significant plays, even though I slightly side with Chandler. He put himself in situations where he would get toasted trying to approach that offensive line, and the quarterback would audible, and he'd get caught trying to make his way back, and he's already gone. He's already gone out of the play. So that was some of the situations that he got Pittsburgh caught out there. Luckily, he had some good corners on the outside that could break up some plays, i.e., McFadden, Gay, and Taylor as well, some of the corners I can think of on the top of my head. But literally the one play that comes to me is where he timed the snap perfectly, jumped right over the safety and got to the quarterback. I mean, those are once-in-a-lifetime type of plays. You got to time that perfectly, and he made it happen. Just a freak of nature, and just like we're all alluded to, he's one of those guys that plays the line well. And reading and responding to it. So I give Polamalu a lot of credit for the duration that he spent in the NFL, even though a lot of his time with that Steelers team, he was injured, especially the last three seasons. He wasn't getting more than 9 games a season with this Pittsburgh Steelers team. So that's a tough situation to look at. But I do respect him that he went off on his own, still healthy, not super concussion riddle, even though he had his fair share of concussions. That is something that I am hoping that the CTE situation doesn't come with him and, everything that went down with Junior Seau, so on and so forth. I'm hoping that he's all right, but he made the right decision, I'm guessing, to step away from the game at a young age of 33. I'm 33. So I'm calling it young. I'm young. Okay. Now, anything else that you guys would like to know, too, before we get away from the Troy Polamalu situation? Okay. The silence helps me. Now, Chandler, I'm going to come right next to you on this situation, because we talked about this outside of the kitchen, and now I kind of want you to bring this to the kitchen so people can deal with this dish. Two words, and they're actually two names. Jameis and Marcus. Now, Chandler, I know, don't roll your eyes, don't punch no hole in no wall. I know we've been speaking about this like crazy. I know the media frenzy is going crazy on this situation. Your thoughts on these two quarterbacks, who initially goes number one? Obviously, they said the tides have turned. They said that Mariota is looking like he's going to be the number one pick over Jameis. I'm a diehard Kane fan. You know I don't like anything out of Florida State. I'm not going to lie. I think the more pro-ready quarterback is Jameis, but they're thinking that Marcus may be the guy to lead the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Your thoughts on how things have slowly changed for both of these quarterbacks?
Well, I said months ago to you, and I said a couple times on air, but I was just kind of a throwaway. Jameis Winston was never going to be the number one pick of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He doesn't fit what they do. He doesn't fit the coach. He doesn't fit the style that the coach wants to play, and he doesn't fit the type of player that coach coaches. He doesn't fit the program. Lovie Smith would never draft Jameis Winston, ever. He doesn't like players who bring attention to themselves away from the football. He doesn't like premier quarterbacks. Remember, this is the guy who thought Rex Grossman was a starting quarterback. This is the guy who thought Josh McCown was a starting quarterback. Okay? He likes bland, nondescript, team-centric players. That is not I'm not saying Jameis Winston is sold or anything like that, but Jameis Winston is going to bring attention to himself just because of his personality, because of who he is, because of his name. Lovie Smith don't like players like that. If you look at the fact he had Darrell Revis and refused to play Darrell Revis in a role that fit Darrell Revis, the best cornerback in football. And he said, I don't like you being out there on the island by yourself. You're going to play a zone. He's gotten rid of most of the players on that roster who were people who drew attention to themselves off the field. And not for bad things, for good things, for how well they did. They were guys who did endorsements. He doesn't like those players. He was never going to draft Jameis Winston. Now, coincidentally or not, a story, a hatchet job, yellow journalism, was put out about 2 weeks ago, maybe a week and a half, talking about there could be an alleged second, so maybe kind of woman who might possibly sue him because maybe he did something untoward, possibly. The entire article was full of supposition, but it was released at the perfect time because a few days later, everybody started saying, oh, Mariota's going to go number one. Now you on Twitter, you see people say, oh, I knew for months that the Bucs were leaning towards Mariota. Yeah, everybody knew that, but they didn't want to say it. Jameis Winston doesn't fit Tampa Bay, not with Lovie Smith as the coach. So all they needed was anything else off the field that they could justify saying they don't believe in his character and justify not drafting him. So that particular little article, I'm not even call it a news article, that gossip article that came out, gives them the ability now to not draft Jameis. They don't want to draft Jameis. Lovie Smith doesn't want him as a quarterback. Marcus Mariota is going to be the pick. He is going to be drafted. Why? Because he's a milquetoast guy. What I mean by that is he is a guy who's never going to draw attention to himself off the field. He's a quiet, bland guy. You're never going to get any sound clips from him. You're never going to see any real emotion on the sidelines from him. He is a guy who fits what Lovie Smith wants in a player. So they're not going to draft Jameis. They're not going to draft Jameis. And that's going to open up that draft to a whole lot of things because Tennessee is about to get paid for that number two pick. You hear me? Tennessee is about to get paid for that number two pick. But Tampa Bay
what if they turn that down because they need a quarterback? I'm not sold on Mettenberger.
Okay, because you're not me doesn't mean a doggone thing. Whether I'm sold on don't mean a thing. I mean, Tennessee is all that matters, and they're sold on Mettenberger. They'll go defense before they
get there.
Before they draft the quarterback, they'll draft Leonard, what's his name? What's the kid's name? Leonard Williams? The kid
right.
from USC. They'll draft him before they draft the quarterback, or they'll trade that pick. And if you think about it, if they trade that pick, do you know the haul that they'll get for that number two pick? They can drop back and still get a good quarterback. if you're not sold on Mettenberger, and get some other picks in the first round. And guess what team has two picks in the first round? The Cleveland Browns, who are going to be on Hard Knocks.
Oh boy.
All I'm saying.
Interesting enough, but this is why I look at it like this, too. To me, football IQ-wise, I think Jameis coming out of college is still more ready than Mettenberger, even though Mettenberger went through one season, half of a season. I don't really want to say half, a quarter of a season starting, and took his lumps. I think Jameis is a fearless quarterback. The only bad part about Jameis is his off-field decisions. That's probably why people are still questioning his maturity level. But him as a football player, I'd actually put him, I don't want to say he's near him, but I put him in the level of an Andrew Luck coming into football. I don't want to say he's an Andrew Luck now because Luck is out of his mind right now. But I'm saying that of Luck coming out of Stanford, coming into the Colts when Peyton Manning was stepping away, I think this is a good opportunity for Jameis to at least lead a team, whether it be Tampa Bay with two big-time receivers on the outside, with Evans or V-Jack, depending on Tampa Bay wants to pull the trigger, but I understand where Chandler's coming from, or also with him going to Tennessee and making things happen with the cards that he's dealt, because I think he is a quarterback that can make, chicken salad out of chicken crap. You know what I mean? But anything else you'd like to say before I get Sirius's turn on this also?
And keep in mind this. The NFL wants two teams in L.A. next year. The owner of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers wants to move that team. That's obvious by the moves he's made. So everything lines up for him not to draft Jameis. I'm just saying.
Okay, fair enough. And this is in Sports City. This is coming from a Seminole fan. He's not even giving Jameis the love right now, the number one pick. This is critical. You are getting fresh. This is Sports City. Sirius, your thoughts on these two guys being Jameis and Mariota, knowing how I think these guys have been more intertwined with the meeting that they had in the college postseason that just passed in December, or excuse me, in January, and now these guys are basically back at it, if you will, for the number one or number two pick, depending on if teams trade up or trade down or which team comes after one of these quarterbacks. Your thoughts on Jameis and Marcus?
You know, man, it's very interesting to see how this is starting to shake out. You know, living out here in the metro, you know, one of the things that I was paying attention to, just being so close to the damn skin, is what in the world they're going to do at five. You know, all week, you know, everything that I've been hearing out here was that Mariota was coming in for a visit. Mariota was coming in. Well, that meeting has been canceled. So that started me thinking, why in the world, even if you're at the number five position, would you not, you know, bluff a little bit? You know, don't show your whole cards, if you will. You know, let teams think that, you know, this is a possibility because, again, you know, you got Tennessee there at two with Mettenberger. You know, you got some other teams sitting at the top, you know, three, four that, you know, could go really quarterback. So you're sitting there at five and you're Washington. You know, you can trade back, get some more picks, do what you need to do. But the move today, I agree with Chandler, the move today, I have no doubt in my mind at this point that Mariota is going to be the number one selection to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Again, not to piggyback on what my man Chandler had said, but again, Lovie Smith is your quarterback. I personally think that him being there in Florida is a bad move for him, not so much for X's and O's standpoint, but just for off the field. You know, sometimes as a man, you know, if you go through some transgressions, you have some, you know, situations, sometimes a change of scenery will help you, you know, alleviate some of the demons that has once plagued you. You're right there in Florida if you get drafted by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You're less than an hour away from where you went to school, if you will. Some of those demons that plagued you in college can very easily follow you to the NFL, thus making your NFL transition a problematic one. So I didn't think it was a good fit off the field, more or less the X's and O's standpoint. So for me, I always thought Mariota would probably been the better pick. You know, everything that I'm looking at and seeing that, you know, from the X's and O's standpoint, Mariota, in my opinion, is more NFL draft ready. Now, again, if you're looking at the naysayers and looking at the, you know, the experts, you know, Mariota, if you look at, you know, what happened when you have a pro-style offense, you know, i.e. a Robert Griffin III, i.e. a Colin Kaepernick, you know, the transition from the college game to the NFL game has been somewhat problematic for these type of men, you know, who like to run around a little bit and use their legs to escape and this, that, and the third. However, I think, honestly, that if there was a guy who could definitely right that wrong and definitely get the job done, especially in Tampa Bay, that would be a Marcus Mariota. So I'm very curious to see what the Tampa Bay Buccaneers do with that first pick. I also heard a report that they didn't actually trade back. You know, so I honestly don't know. But if Tampa Bay picks at number one, which I think they will, I think Marcus Mariota will be the guy.
Really? You feel that he's more pro-ready than Jameis Winston? Okay, interesting. Interesting. We do have a caller in queue I want to bring in here to y'all. He may feel about what's going on or what dish that he may want to pick up on. Caller here from the Georgia region. We have Matt here at the round table. How are you feeling this evening?
I'm good. How are you guys doing today?
Doing all right. We're actually talking about the potential between these two quarterbacks and how these guys are intertwined potentially at the top of the NFL draft that's coming up. Your thoughts on who may end up being the number one pick, whether it be Marcus or Jameis, and anything that you heard thus far that you might want to speak on or possibly debate?
I'm not too high on Jameis Winston. He's going to be a bust like Jamarcus Russell. Therefore, Marcus Mariota is going to be your number one pick. He's not going to be too heavy.
Wait. Before you go any further, what features from Winston give you the idea that he's going to be a bust?
I've heard rumors that he's getting out of shape. Is there any truth behind those rumors?
No, from the footage that I've seen, he's looked pretty good doing his pro day and stuff. I think everybody's talking about the one where his belly looked exceptionally big out there, but I don't think he'll look like a Jamarcus Russell. Jamarcus Russell, I hate to say it like this, basically ate his way out of a quarterback position. Literally, Jamarcus Russell was at one point marked at being 366 pounds. Like, that's beyond being the quarterback. But I don't know if I want to compare those situations together, but proceed.
I would not trust Winston on your team for a number of reasons. You can start with his lack of discipline. This has a carryover effect. We saw Johnny Manziel this past season. He's a huge distraction. We're talking about he's going to rehab. He's doing all this. It doesn't matter. It's the same Johnny Manziel. He's a cancer to your team. You don't take a risk and draft the guy. Winston should not even be drafted in the first round, but of course somebody will.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm serious. He's going to be a big bust.
Huge.
He's not going to put up anything.
Have you watched any college football this past year? Have you watched any college football the past year?
College football, I saw the Rose Bowl. I saw him throw the ball over his head on a fourth down. I've seen what I've seen. He got by with talent at Florida State. He got by with guys like Nick Leary. He got by with guys named Kelvin Benjamin. He got by with a good team around him. He's not going to have that wherever he goes. He's going to get lazier and lazier. He's going to sit back, collect his money, and he's going to be a bust. And whoever drafts him is going to have a big donut on their head. They might sell a few tickets. You know, I think he's going to go to Jacksonville personally, and it's going to be a nightmare. It's going to be a PR win for Jacksonville at the start of the season, and then it's going to, by the eighth game when they're 1-7, it's going to turn into a PR nightmare.
One, he's not lazy. Two, obviously you didn't watch him in both seasons. See, here's what people fail to recognize, okay?
You go ahead and listen to ESPN. You go ahead and listen to them. Jameis Winston can make every throw, and he can take the ball from under center, so he's two steps ahead of the game for Marcus Mariota. First of all, Mariota has to spend a season learning how to take the ball from under center and read a defense. Secondly, he went from having a bunch of NFL players on his team to having a bunch of guys who didn't get drafted and didn't declare for the draft. And he was throwing to them and throwing balls in tight windows. His body shape is the same body shape as Ben Roethlisberger, by the way. All of the people who now want to criticize his body type, it's the same shape as Ben Roethlisberger, but nobody's got a problem with Ben Roethlisberger's weight and size and shape. The fact that Roethlisberger has a gut as well, okay, and he's not undisciplined. He is a young man who needs hard coaching. I will give you that. He needs a coach who is going to stay on his behind, absolutely, and that is not a Lovie Smith thing. So, no, Tampa shouldn't draft him. But to say he's going to be a bust, let me tell you something. Marcus Mariota will be out of the league in 3 years if he gets drafted number one. Jameis Winston's going to have a 15-year career. Book it.
Marcus Mariota has game speed. I don't know if Winston has that. I don't know if he can adjust. I don't know if he's going to be physically fast enough to withstand, you know, heavy pass rushes. You can't scramble out like Marcus Mariota. I'm not saying Marcus Mariota is going to be a dominant force.
Peyton Manning can't scramble. You don't have to be a scrambling quarterback in order to be a successful quarterback. See, that's the nonsense right there. Because you know what? It's funny. When a guy runs fast, they say, oh, he needs to stay in the pocket. But then when the guy can't run, now if they want to knock him, they say, oh, well, he doesn't move fast. Tell me how fast Ben Roethlisberger runs. He runs about a 4.44, 4.5, 4.6. Okay? He ain't fast. Jameis Winston don't have to run around. He is a pocket quarterback. He is not a scrambling quarterback. He's not going to be in a system that asks him to scramble, so it doesn't matter how fast he is. Last I checked, Eli Manning could run to save his life. How's he doing in the league? Pretty doggone good.
Okay. This is a very interesting conversation. I like this. This kitchen is heating up. I'm going to say this before we get away from it, and I know it holds no weight to what Tampa Bay is going to do. I personally think if Winston ends up going to Tampa Bay, him having not one but two type of receivers on the outside similar to Kelvin Benjamin, I think that will actually help him mold himself into that system. The one thing I'm concerned about is if that those running backs can stay healthy because Doug Martin, Rainey, the guys they have back there, they couldn't get much production out of these guys. They could barely stay on the field. So this is something that I am worried about if Tampa Bay does end up going with Winston. I think they should. The one thing that the jury is still out about Mariota, this is no longer Oregon playing Pac-12 football. This is no longer you going up against Washington Huskies or the Washington State Cougars where you guys are putting up 80 points a night. You are playing NFL football. They will be sending that rush, and that 4.5 speed will only get you out of so much damage. You got to make these throws, and you're not going to be going up against weak defensive lines. To be honest, yes, Pac-12, I'm calling you out. You got to play no defense. Utah is probably the only school within that region that plays defense. Outside of that, nobody plays D. So especially him going to – if Mariota is to get picked by Tampa Bay, he'll be in the NFC South. Where he's going to have to throw the heck out of the ball up against Matty Ice, Drew Brees, and Cam Newton. He's going to have to throw the ball. He can't win those games on his feet. He can't, especially when that division's up for grabs. So that's initially how I see it. Even though I know a lot of people are enamored with the speed that he brings to the game, Kaepernick was probably the only successful one, but he had a coach that worked to his system. You got a whole disarray, question marks, going on down there at Tampa Bay. I don't think that actually favors Marcus Mariota because we see how everything fell apart in that national championship game. He couldn't do too much up against Ohio State. We'll just figure out how he would do in the NFC or just the NFL alone. Anything else that you guys would like to say before we get away from this? Okay, the silence helps me. Next topic, Matt, since we got you here, I might as well let you open this one up. Chris Copeland, NBA basketball player, gets caught in an altercation in New York City, ends up getting stabbed several times, and is in the melee, and I don't even understand how this all went down. There were some Atlanta Hawks players there, i.e. Tabo Sefolosha and Pero Antes, both interfering with police, both getting arrested in the melee. Sefolosha breaks his fibula and is out for the season. This is a big blow for the Atlanta Hawks team, and let alone how much participation they can get out of Pero, where Antes has actually been knocking down shots outside of Corver and company. But your thoughts on them losing probably one of their better on-the-ball defenders going into the doorstep of this NBA playoffs in 2015?
Well, I didn't like to hear about it. I don't know exactly what kind of relationship they got with Copeland. Obviously, they were standing up for the guy, which seems somewhat noble. But, you know, we got a season on the line here. And Sefolosha, like you said, he's the best on-ball defender we got. To lose him for the season is huge. Pero can knock down threes. He's going to be out a little while, too, I believe. This is not good for Atlanta. I've already been worried about Cleveland in the playoffs. Some people are saying we're going to get knocked out in the second round by the Raptors. I don't know about that, but losing Tybo is definitely going to set us back. You can definitely, that's a little clink in the armor of the Atlanta Hawks. The last thing we needed was to lose someone like him, a veteran like him. I'm very disappointed, and I hope it all gets resolved. And I do hope that kid Copeland comes out all right.
And he's in stable condition in the hospital, too, so hopefully he recovers well. And depending on if the Pacers can make a push to get in there, because they're in the 10th seed in the Eastern Conference and still have a legit shot to get there, but we'll see how this does end up panning out. Chandler, your thoughts? I mean, this is the city that you're from, New York City, where it all goes down, the city that never sleeps. I mean, the list and names go on and on from this situation. I know you're probably going to feel severe about the situation toward Copeland, but Sefolosha and Antich, big loss opportunities for this Atlanta Hawks team, especially with it being so close to the playoffs. Your thoughts for at least the loss of Sefolosha for the remainder of the season?
Well, as far as Copeland goes, he was out with his wife, man. And I get it was 4 o'clock in the morning. You know what? He wasn't out at some strip club. He's out with his wife, and they got attacked. It's New York. It happens. I don't believe the account by the NYPD, because I know the NYPD. Okay? When something goes down, they just start throwing people around because, you know, they happen to fit a certain profile. So I believe Sefolosha and Antis, when they said they didn't do nothing wrong, and the cops basically were just, you know, hooking everybody up, so to speak. I totally believe that because, again, I know NYPD. I know how they get down, and it's real dirty, okay? And so if you got a dark complexion to your skin and something's going on, the cops is going to put their hands on you and take you down just because you're standing there. God forbid you say something. So I'm not going to knock any of these guys. Personally, you know, Copeland was out with his wife or his soon-to-be wife. You know what I'm saying? Somebody came up on him and attacked him. You know, you say, okay, 4 o'clock in the morning, okay, fine. Maybe he should have been out at 4, but the fact of the matter is it's not like he was out, you know. He wasn't out. He wasn't a DUI or something like that. He didn't stab himself, shoot himself. He didn't start a fight. He got assaulted. Okay, and as for the other two guys, like I said, I don't believe the NYPD's version of the events, and I think that we're going to find out in about a week or so that the NYPD is wrong and that they had no business doing what they were doing, what they did to them. But as far as the Hawks go, it is a big blow for the Hawks, but I think they play a team-centric game. So I think that they'll be able to overcome it, and I still see the Hawks being in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Pretty big. That's a pretty big statement. I agree with you. You know, anything can happen in New York, and by the way, especially with the incident, and I'm saying in Sports City, I could care less. If y'all feel some type of way, come talk to me. I'm going to try and be as you know, G-rated as possible, especially with the incident that happened down there in South Carolina with the cops. You got to hope that these cops can lighten up, especially with NBA players and you breaking a bone on a guy, too. I could only imagine how severe the situation was. I've seen the clip of them trying to, you know, corral Tabo Cephalosha at the end of the day. It really didn't look like Tabo or Antich were trying to do too much to the Foleys. I think that they used their force of, it looked like a total of 8 to 9 cops to make sure that they could get these 6'8", 7-footers to the ground and take care of business from there. But I think that the Atlanta Hawks have to call on Kent Bazemore to step up. Bazemore is not only going to have to, you know, be able to score the ball, but he's actually going to have to fill the role of being Tabo Cephalosha defensively to come up with some stops. And literally, looking at how the AC could be up against this Atlanta Hawks team, this is not an easy win for them to get out of the first round, people. I'm sorry. I can care less on how strong people feel about this Atlanta Hawks team. The Atlanta Hawks can be in danger, especially without one of these players right now being Tabo Cephalosha. Even though they've been rallying around one another, the Atlanta area has bought into this team and has been rising up like Atlanta likes to use. I feel right now Atlanta is they're definitely vulnerable right now, especially for a rude awakening if they think that they're going to walk into the playoffs and get past teams, at least with the first-round situation. So this is something that I am watching closely. Okay. And anything else that you guys would like to say before we get away from the Atlanta Hawks?
We're going to have no problem. Saying we, referring to Atlanta, of course, because I live here, but we're going to have no problem with the 8th seed. So don't worry about that one. You can put that down. You can get your broom out of your closet and start sweeping your place because we're going to sweep whoever we play in that one.
Okay, like I said, they have to prove themselves right now. Listen, they're playing strong regular season ball. Everybody's record is right clean, whether if they play Brooklyn, because Brooklyn is at the 8th seed right now, or if Miami or Indiana jump into that 8th seed, I think they could present a problem to that Hawks team. I believe the Hawks play strong, strongly throughout the regular season.
I beg to differ. We just beat Brooklyn by 25 at home, and we beat them last night as an underdog. Boston could scare us for one game, but I doubt it. Indiana Pacers, we already know what they're going to do, so they might
get
in.
The Pacers beat you last year, same team.
They're hobbling on one leg. This is a different Hawks team. They play as a team. That's why you can get by without Cephalosha. Maybe not for the entire playoffs, but for a few series, you can get by without them. So don't worry about that. Atlanta, I guarantee, will advance to the second round, regardless of who they play.
We have to see it, ladies and gentlemen. The last time Matt guaranteed something, well, we would have lost our 401Ks, our houses, our condos, our cars, everything else he brought to the kitchen trying to put a guarantee together. Okay. The next topic that I do want to jump into, I didn't get to talk about this all week just due to the fact the way things have fizzled out in Sports City, but how the Final Four went down with Duke winning the national championship. Now, interesting enough, I don't want to fully look at Duke winning the national championship. I want to look at each and every one of these teams that have played in this year's Final Four have a significant change coming up in this next season. Michigan State, with some of their seniors leaving, you got Kentucky lost seven of the players are part of that platoon, even though I think Calipari is definitely probably the best guy to go out there and recruit, bring talent into Lexington, Kentucky. Coach K losing Okafor, potentially Winston, as if he's ready to make the jump to the league also. And lastly, Bo Ryan, with today, Sam Decker just throws out the fact that he's going to the league, too. So he not only loses Frank the Tank Kaminsky, he also loses, to me, I actually noted him as being the most outstanding player for that Wisconsin team, being Sam Decker. So how these four teams have to rebuild is a big deal for me. I'll come to you first, Chandler. Your thoughts on all four of the teams, Duke, you got Michigan State, you got Kentucky, and you also have Wisconsin as well. Your thoughts?
Well, first, Bo Ryan, can you be any more classless? I just need to say that. Bo Ryan, you need to shut up and go away for a while. Now, Michigan State is Tom Izzo, man. I don't care what their record is. When March comes, they're going to be fine. Kentucky, I'm not worried about because Calipari probably pushed some of those guys to leave because he's got seven guys to replace them. You know it, not know it. Calipari has at least five other you know, McDonald's All-Americans to replace them guys. So the Kentucky will be fine. Duke, I think Duke will probably be a better team with Okafor gone, to be quite honest with you. I think Justice Winslow is the biggest loss. Bigger, I think he's a bigger loss than Okafor, personally. I think he's the bigger loss if he goes. And Wisconsin, same thing. I think it's a bigger loss if Decker leaves than it is for Kaminsky to leave. I don't expect Wisconsin to get back to the Final Four next year. I don't expect Michigan State to get as far as they did next year. But I do expect Kentucky to get back to the Final Four, and I do expect Duke to get at least to the Elite Eight.
Okay, Matt, your thoughts on these four teams, give or take. You got Decker leaving along with Kaminsky in his senior season. You got guys with Michigan State leaving as well. You got Okafor leaving his Duke organization. All four of these teams had strong situations, including Kentucky with the platoon that they had. Now more or less looking like they're all four of them are on the rebuild. Your thoughts on these teams' success potentially coming up next season?
Well, give Duke all the credit in the world for pulling off a championship. Them and Kentucky obviously always get the five-star top blue-chip recruits that everybody covets. So those two are always going to be on the radar. That being said, Kentucky's team is decimated again. What will Coach Cal do? He does what he always does. He recruits. He gets the best players in the country to come to Lexington, Kentucky, to be overhyped and overranked all year until about the Elite Eight or Final Four where they start choking. Wisconsin, Bo Ryan's got a good program going. I don't know how many more years he will actually be coaching. Losing those guys is going to hurt Wisconsin. I would say they're probably maybe Sweet 16. We'll see who they get as replacements. Michigan State is the type of team that seems to always not take the regular season serious. They certainly don't ever start playing basketball till around late February. So you'll see a mediocre Michigan State team head into early March, late February, and then all of a sudden you'll see them in the Elite Eight. That's the story with them. But as far as any of those four teams getting back to the Final Four, it's going to be very, very tough. I give Duke the best chance just because right now they're probably going out and probably have the top five recruits in America looking at their school along with Kentucky. Some teams I'll throw in there, I'm not sure who Notre Dame is losing, but they will be scary. And also teams like Gonzaga, some of these teams that made the Elite Eight might be a more legitimate teams to look at than the teams that just left the Final Four.
I feel strongly for Bo Ryan. I think that he's in the worst situation because he's losing two of his best players on his team. Even though Nigel Hayes, the sophomore talent that he had on that team, is saying that he's staying. With Decker and Kaminsky both going to the league, well, Kaminsky had to because he's a senior, but Decker could have returned for his senior season. I wonder where the production is going to come offensively for his team, let alone Decker was more or less the energy guy for that team and did a lot of stuff for that Wisconsin Badger team. So I think Bo Ryan has probably the strongest road to follow to try and rebuild this team. However, I do agree with Chandler, Coach Cal, and also with Coach K. I think these two definitely know how to recruit, going within that McDonald's High School All-American thing and grabbing some of the best players across the country and getting these guys to buy into the systems and helping whether the Wildcats or the Blue Devils be successful in their upcoming season. So I think those two are fine. However, I cannot doubt Tom Izzo any longer. As much as I didn't see the talent on his team like the Charlie Bell days, the Mateen Cleaves, the Mo Pete days, he's gotten it done with Valentine Trice, you know, Schilling, you know, some of the notables where these guys got it done. Dawson may end up going to the league as well, too. So if he ends up losing Dawson, that's another piece within the paint where you know Izzo likes to force that physical breed of basketball. He's going to have to try and find another bruiser down there to get the job done. I don't want to count him out, but I definitely know this will be an interesting thing to look at to see if Tom Izzo can get the same production out of this Spartan team that he got out of this year's team, a seventh seed that made it to the Final Four and bumped into the national championship-winning Duke Blue Devils. So, interesting enough, I think all four of the coaches may potentially have their hands full, but I think Coach K and Coach Cal probably have the easiest road to follow to get back where they were. Anything that you guys would like to know before we get away from these four and then actually start to get ready to shut down the round table?
I did want to mention that there was one crucial call late in the game, the Duke-Wisconsin game. You can clearly see the index finger of the Duke player move the ball out of bounds, and they called it to Duke's ball. Not saying Wisconsin would have won the game, but they possibly would have had a position to force overtime. Those type of calls are you wonder why we even have a review system when we can't even get those crucial calls in a national title game correct.
I agree with you on that play. I severely remember that play that you're talking about. But I was in the kitchen and said, for Wisconsin to win that game, it was going to take Frank Kaminsky to win that game. Frank Kaminsky had the game plan all set for all of 32 to 33 minutes and went right away from the game plan. You mean to tell me that Jahlil Okafor is on the floor with four fouls and you're going to settle for three-point jump shots 4 feet behind the three-point line? You're helping Duke win the game. And
I agree.
They're looking to convince me to be the next guy to carry basketball, so on and so forth. He was not going at Okafor like he did earlier in that game. All he had to do was go at him and even flop, because that's what Duke started doing. If Duke's getting away with flops, you flop too and get Okafor right out of the game, and that opens the game up for you. But no, he was settling for trying to knock down three-point shots after three-point shots 4 feet behind the line, and Okafor standing his ground. And that's one thing that helped Duke, because Duke actually got courage on the defensive end, where everybody's like, Duke plays defense. Duke, yeah, right. Yeah, right. Duke, I give Duke credit. They won their championship, but they didn't get attacked the way that they were supposed to. Him and Winslow were both in foul trouble. Nobody went and even tried to attack or jump into these guys' body to draw contact. Nobody.
There is only the Final Four. And you guys can argue all you want. There's only one reason why Duke came back in that game. And that's a gentleman by the name of Grayson Allen, a fifth-year senior. Without him, they were dead in the water. If he did not, he willed them to a comeback. None of those other guys did anything if it wasn't for him.
Grayson Allen is a freshman.
He's a freshman. Well, I think CBS fudged it, but maybe they were talking about Cook or somebody. But if it wasn't for that kid, Duke was looking up at goat's ass.
True. And that's when they were down by like 9 points or so, and he went on his little 6-0 run by himself. He had a 6-0 run. He had a three, then he got the
air
one.
Strong enough. He looks like he's my size, not that big. I'm not very big. But he was strong enough to drive to the lane and get and ones against the vaunted Wisconsin defense. I give that kid all the credit in the world, and he is the type of guy that will probably stay in his tenure at Duke, because he's obviously not an NBA caliber guy like Okafor or some of those other guys on Duke. But I tip my cap to him. He's pretty much what willed Duke to the win.
He might end up being the guy next year. Just watch close, because Cook is going. He might end up being the two guard for the Duke Blue Devils. Watch out for Grayson Allen. That might be his spot, him and Tyus Jones for sure. Okay, well, we are at the tail end of the show here at the roundtable. I did want to talk about Tiger, but I'll say that, man, Tiger's actually playing well. I won't say great, but Tiger's actually looking like glimpses of himself at the Masters, so we'll see. But I don't know how much room y'all had, but I need plugs and closeouts from the both of you as we shut down the roundtable. Matt, I'll start with you first. Thanks for stopping by the roundtable. Give us anything that you like to plug or promote as we shut down the doors here in Sports City.
I appreciate y'all having me. It's always good to talk to y'all on this rainy Friday night in Atlanta. Looks like the Braves are going to get going here hopefully soon. Good start for them. I gave out a loser on Monday's show on the Cleveland Indians. I just couldn't hit the ball. I'm going to give out two plays tonight. The Milwaukee Brewers about to kick off at 8:10 Eastern time, and then also San Diego Padres. I like for them to win at 10:10. That'll be it. You guys have a great weekend and enjoy the baseball if you watch it, or the NBA tonight if you're watching that.
So it's at Brewers and Padres on Friday night, Sports City. I'm marking this one down because you know I will not let him rest. I won't. Mr. Knight, I need a plug. Close out anything that you'd like to promote as we shut down the doors here in Sports City at the Roundtable.
Well, it's always a lot of fun, Ty. We got the baseball show, I believe, Sunday. And I just need to say this for all the people that want to kill Alex Rodriguez. The San Francisco Giants have had six players suspended for PEDs since 2011. Where's all the vitriol for them? San Francisco Giants won the Super Bowl by cheating. World Series, you know what I mean.
Hey, I get you clearly. A-Rod has a lot of work to do. He just hit his first home run getting back out there on the diamond. So this is big for the Yankees, but you know me, Chandler. I cannot stand the pinstripes, so I could care less on how them blue Yankees feel. That's just how I feel. That's just personal. But I feel the Yankees may be able to do something. They're in an interesting matchup up against their lifelong rival of the Red Sox tonight. So this is something to watch, Sports City. SportsCityChefs.com. Check out the website, the interviews, the blogs, the chefs. I'll be back here Sunday with the brunch. Stay tuned to everything that we got on Twitter at Sports City Chefs or at both of the Sports City Chef pages on Facebook. If we have a show that'll pop up tomorrow, I'll definitely get the link out there to you people because I know Major's been pushing me to do more shows with him. So stay tuned, Sports City. We got a lot of stuff going on. Check us out at iTunes.com as well. We got a lot of stuff going on also. Thank you for everybody that's been checking us out, downloading these shows. The numbers have still been great, even though we have not had great participation, and that's on my behalf. I'll say apologies and sorry to everybody out there that's been trying to come to this kitchen and get some of that food for thought that I've been putting these dishes out for oh so long. On that note, tell a friend that it's the chefs again, and if they don't know, now they know.
Let me get my thing music. Let me get my thing music. Hey, let me get my thing music. Hey, let me get my thing music.
Baby, just forget everything that you know. Let's take it all the way back to hello. They say you're living like you've died before. I got a place that only I can go. Ooh, let me take you to flight school.
We'll learn to fly.
Ooh, let me take you to flight school. Hey, you never been so high, kiss the ground goodbye. And you say, damn, baby, how did you get that fly? Flight school.
I got the airplane passes, aviator glasses. She be looking fly like aviator classes. So classy, Jacqueline Onassis. Used to stick and move like Ali Cassius. Massive, like Kennedy's assassin. We was killing time like clocks in the casket. Perhaps it's time to prevail. I show you Gotham City like I'm Christian Bale. I could be Barack and let you be Michelle. Miguel, Giselle, dress fresh as hell. Louis, Gucci in that pastel. Adore, Dior, ride down Lake Shore. She felt the vibe, I had to make sure. She felt deprived, living like she died. Slide with a G, now she felt revived. I'm in town for the night, she somebody wifey. The air ye, she never seen me. So the moment I might seize, I done come about the coma, awaken from life's dream. When you wake up in the morning, you join the flight team.
Just forget everything that you know. Let's take it all the way back to hello. They say you're living like you've died before. I got a place that only I can go. Ooh, let me take you to flight school.
We'll learn to fly.
Ooh, let me take you to flight school. Never been so high, kiss the ground goodbye. And you say, damn, baby, how did you get that fly? Flight school.
got my Superman power, my Superman cape. These the last hours, but Superman late. Clock is ticking, damn, can you wait? Man, will he come back and save the day? Fly across the earth, put things in reverse. I wish this life was a movie I could just rehearse. Certain things I can't doctor, and you say I'm the worst. I ain't have enough patience, but I needed a nurse that'll come by my bed late, see if my head aches, then get my head straight, then give me head great. Every time I popped up like the VCR, I took your breath away, then we performed CPR. With all the cars, the clothes, the lights, the boats, I guess I was just trying to store my raw oats in the penthouse position with penthouse bitches. See, I pimp my crib, so I must exhibit shit. These last years been a haze like Isaac, so I close my eyes tighter than Asian eyes. Get realize I got the same wings angels fly with Louis Vuitton feathers now. That's some fly shit.
Baby, just forget everything that you know. Let's take it all the way back to hello.
They got me staring at the world through my rear view. Go ahead, baby, scream to God. He can help you with your problems. Star Brothers, wild when we come through. They can relate to Chef Music, help them with their problems. Turn us up. What's your problem? Sports City, that's all I got. I'm gone.